Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined today by my good friend, Vincent J. Forte. The J stands for J.
Oh, man. I was going to say it stands for something else, but I don't know if we can get away with saying that. So that's just going to be a big mystery to everyone.
Uh-oh. Vin, how are you?
I am good. I am quite literally shaken from the earthquake we had earlier. Rare, because we had an earthquake like 10 years ago.
Yes.
But it wasn't this violent. Like, the one we had 10 years ago was more like a rolling, like, almost like a pit in your stomach, like, oh, what was that?
Yeah. Today, the day we're recording this, here in the East Coast, here in New York City, actually, it originated in Jersey, but we felt it in New York. We had a little earthquake, which is something you're not used to here in New York.
No.
There was a little one some couple years ago, but then the one we had today is we haven't had one that big in like over 100 years.
What?
So but what's weird is it's kind of like, you ever hear the story, and we're so already off the topic, but do you ever hear the story about how like Native Americans didn't know ships were coming because they didn't know what ships were? Like, they could be like, oh, these ships are coming to colonize us, because they just didn't have that concept. Like, you need to know what something is to understand it.
Right.
I felt a shake. I was at work. I felt a shake. And there's people, my office has apartments above it. Mm-hmm. So my office sometimes, like in the middle of a workday, just stinks of weed, or like there's just like loud music playing. So I thought, yeah, oh, these people are like running around. And then I thought, oh, maybe there's like a huge truck outside. And then like as I was like, what's happening? It's over. And I was like, huh. And I kind of just forgot about it immediately. It wasn't
until 5 minutes later.
Yeah, a coworker was like, hey, did you feel that earthquake? And I was like, yeah, I think I did.
Well, that's the thing I don't care for, is then you go on social media and every single person is like, was that an earthquake? Oh, did you feel the earthquake? I'm marking myself safe from the earthquake. It's like,
fucking sick.
Yeah, we felt it. My mom called me and was like, Vinny, did you feel that earthquake? Yes. Yes, I felt the earthquake.
Yeah. CNN had people calling in, and the fucking anchor was like, what did you feel? And they're like, I felt shaking. What the fuck do you mean, what did I feel?
Yeah, I was watching news coverage too. I think it was like CBS, and they're talking to some guy on the phone. And they're talking to this guy like he just saw 9/11. Like, they're like, well, how many seconds did it last? Oh, it could be 10, maybe 15. I don't know. I can't put a time on it.
In like, Jersey, you know, it was like a minute. It was over a minute or something. That's some real deal shit. I've yet to hear if anyone was injured. I feel like statistically somebody has to have been, right? Somebody.
I haven't seen. That's the weird thing. I was waiting for pictures to come in.
Yeah.
From closer to Jersey, of like what actually happened.
Yeah.
And I haven't. Maybe they'll come out in the day, but like I haven't seen it. No, like Hubble figurines smashed on the floor. No.
Did you feel the aftershock like an hour ago?
No.
There was an aftershock about an hour ago.
Okay.
And then all the texts started again. So today's episode,
I did feel something.
No.
Well, you know what I feel? I feel something shaking because I'm excited for this topic today.
King of the segues. Today's topic on Pop Culture Man Children is best comedy sketches, right? Is that how you thought of it, or favorite?
I thought of it as like favorite. You know what? This was a hard one because
it was super hard.
If we did this episode again, like if we did an alternate version of this episode, I could have given you five different ones.
Yeah, we've been thinking about this topic for like two, three weeks, and my list has changed. I would put things on, I would take things off. Up until like 15 minutes ago, I was still fussing with it, and I don't even know if I like my list.
Yeah, I don't know if I 100% would like put my list in amber. Like, I don't.
No, it's a hard thing. It's a hard thing. So it's favorite comedy sketches, I guess.
And they're in no particular order either. I didn't rank them anyway.
Me neither. But I always, when I go through them, I kind of like go. I don't know. I kind of find a rhythm when I go through them. I don't know. This is really hard. I'm gonna say best because I think these are the funniest. They're my favorite because they're what I think is the funniest. But I have nothing on
What's going to happen is tomorrow you're going to remember one that's like, oh my God, how could I have left that off?
Well, before I was thinking about, like, what about things that are influential? Like, who's on first with Abbott and Costello? Like, that's not making me laugh in 2024, but that's probably, like, super fucking influential. You know what I mean?
Right, but is it influential to you?
Yeah. And then Jen brought up
Okay.
a good point, and she was like, what about Vines and TikToks? I was like, no, we can't even open that gate.
No, that's a whole,
We
like, there's
cannot
one
even.
on here that I was deliberating even taking off because I was like, does this it, I'll explain why it fits the criteria, but like you'll understand when we get to it.
So we both have five, which together makes 10, and that's how math
Yeah.
works.
Yep.
Do you want to start us off?
Yeah, I'm gonna start off with these are all five of mine are from different things, just so I don't have like three from SNL and two
Oh,
from
me
something
too.
else.
Me too.
Because I tried to like we would be here all day if it was just like SNL sketches.
Right.
So if I had to nail down my favorite SNL sketch, one of them, it was almost a tie, but one of the sketches, the sketch I was originally gonna put on here, I know it was a little divisive. I know you don't like it.
Oh, I
I
don't.
love it. I was originally gonna, well, since it's not on here, I was originally gonna put the Mr. Belvedere fan club on here.
I don't even know if I remember that one. What like cast was that?
That was the early 90s, and it's basically Tom Hanks is leading a group of people who are fans of Mr. Belvedere.
Okay.
And I love it because it very slowly ramps up, and Tim Meadows shows up and plays a guy who's just waiting around for a comedy night, so he's the audience proxy, just sitting there taking it all in. And very slowly, it gets weirder. Like Chris Farley's doing his best Farley, and he's like, "Listen, I just want to, take a minute just to partially get it out. Let the new guy in on the mood here. Mr. Belvedere is the light of my life. I love him." And he goes on for like a whole minute about how long he loves Mr. Belvedere, and then at the end of it, he's like, "I think about him all the time. So I was just thinking, should we kill him?" And Tom Hanks is like, "Well, no, we shouldn't kill him. What do you mean?" And someone and Kevin Nealon says that he's like, "Oh, we usually take a vote, chairman." He's like, "Well, we'll vote on it, but I don't think we should kill Mr. Belvedere. Oh yeah, I get all those who want Mr. Belvedere to die say aye. All those who oppose, nay, nay. Okay, the nays have it, but it shouldn't have been that close." And
Wow.
then, like, Farley at the end of it talks about how he wants to. They're doing like an affirmation because Tom Hanks goes like, "So, someone's been killing Mr. Belvedere's house pets again. And I'm not going to ask who it is, but I think we need to do our daily affirmations." And they go around the room and everyone says a funny thing. And then Farley goes, "It's like, I should want to say hi to him if I see him in public. I shouldn't want to keep him in a big jar in my basement."
See, that's a funny. I half remember this, but I'm wondering, just from knowing your sense of humor, how many of yours are going to be a very high concept idea? Because, like, thinking about this topic over the last week or so, you kind of get into a mindset of like, what
It's
makes
going
a
to
sketch?
inform
What
who
is a
you,
sketch?
right?
And it's like I realized like some of my sketches have certain things in common, and it's like I guess this is the kind of sketch I most like. Like I'm a big fan of the genre of sketch of one guy believes something and the other guy doesn't. And one
Okay.
guy's, you know what I mean? One guy's like,
Yeah.
no, and the other guy's like, yes. And there's a million different variations of how that can be. But what you're talking about is interesting because it's
It's a
basically talking.
slow ramp up and a commitment.
Right. And you're, it's also, and it's, it starts off with a funny idea of like just being obsessed with an old sitcom that people don't even remember anymore. And then being, but really being about what stalkering is. Like
Right, it
the
completely
leap to
flips
let's
itself.
kill him.
Well, the one I ended up picking, I think, is a better example because it's a great cross section of ramping up of both intensity and absurdity, which I really like. And that is the Hurley Boy house sitting service.
That's an
I don't,
SNL.
yeah, that one of this it's very minimal as well. It's just it's Farley as like an older like dad character and Adam Sandler with kind of a Chris Elliott looking outfit on, like the wig and stuff. And he's supposed to be a boy. And it keeps cutting back between the two of them. And it starts with Sandler. He's, and he, at first, he's like, "Let me bring in your mail." you're going to be out all day. I just want to bring you mail. And then it cuts to Farley's like, but the boy bringing your mail. And then he makes like little noises afterwards. Like it's all like half of it's in the delivery of Farley. Like he's just so good at it. And then it cuts back to Sandler again. And he's like, let me wash your sheets. You're not even going to be home. I'll keep them nice for you. And he's like, let the boy wash your sheets. He's a clean boy. Like, wash your own damn sheets. Like, and then it just ramps up to like, let me sleep in your bed. Or, like, let me live with you.
So,
I'm gonna put my own stuff in the corner. And
is this
then like he cuts back to Farley, and eventually he's just like, for the love of God, what is the holdup? Let the boy live with you. I can't stand to see him so upset. Meanwhile,
the
like Adam Sandler's trying not to break because he's just got this
right,
formless expression on his face.
which he often did break.
Yeah.
It's interesting you picked two Farley sketches. Do you have a certain fondness for that era?
Oh, I do. I love that era.
Yeah.
Which is funny because a lot of people like hate the later portion of that era from like the 95-ish
Yeah,
era.
yeah. I think it has a lot to do with like your age. Like
Yeah.
when you know, like, you know, 'cause there are some people, there are boomers that are like, you know, it was good the first 2 years of SNL and nothing.
Well, that's the thing with SNL is that every like now I've noticed a lot of people who are a lot younger are start or not younger but not too younger than either of us who are now going like, man, SNL hasn't been good in at least like 12 years. Like, what happened to, the great ones like Bill
Yeah.
Hader and Jason Sudeikis and stuff? Meanwhile, like back then, people were
Yeah.
like, who are these fucking preppy new kids and.
It's funny. The young people are experiencing for the first time that feeling of, oh, it's
Not
you
my
it's a
SNL.
show
Who's
you
this for?
outgrow. SNL is like a pair of jeans that you buy for sixth grade. You're gonna outgrow them. And
Yeah.
it's always gonna be what it is. I like the people like Marc Maron, who suggest perhaps it was never that good.
Maybe there's a reason they cut a half hour off in syndication.
Yes. So I guess I'll start with an SNL sketch as well. Celebrity Jeopardy. Now,
Oh, that's classic.
yeah, they've done a few of these. I'm gonna go with the one where well, the Sean Connery's always there. Daryl
Right.
Hammond as Sean Connery is the mainstay of it. But I'm the one with
Yeah,
Sean.
Turd Ferguson.
Yes, the one with Sean Connery, Burt Reynolds, played by Norm Macdonald, and French Stewart. There's a name. French Stewart
Okay.
actually played pretty brilliantly by Jimmy Fallon. He's doing a pretty good impression if you know who French Stewart is.
Yeah.
But what I love about this sketch is that the thing, and I was actually, me and Jen were watching like the best of Will Ferrell not that long ago. Somewhere along the line, he became like Mr. Silly Man, whereas like if you look at him in the beginning
Oh,
of,
he's a great straight man.
yeah, that he's a funny straight man. That's what he is. He reacting to things, and he's playing the late Alex Trebek. And well, right off the bat, it's a funny premise because if you ever watch Jeopardy, you know that when they do a Celebrity Jeopardy, it tends to be easier than real Jeopardy.
Right, because they
But
don't
you've
want to
got.
make the celebrities look bad, like.
Right. So you've got that concept of this is going to be a dumber version of Jeopardy. And then you kind of come in with this, I think, like, what if they're just not, they're just so aggressively dumb that some are even antagonizing the host? Like,
Yeah.
Sean Connery, played by Daryl Hammond, has like an antagonistic relationship with Will Ferrell as Alex Trebek. And he's, you know, constantly talking about fucking his mother
Yeah.
and like doing
Constantly
fun.
getting stuff on the board wrong,
Yeah,
like.
doing fun bits. Yeah, like they make get a lot out of it. They do fun bits with the categories and misreading
Yeah,
them.
like it'll be like an album cover, but then they'll go to Sean Connery and be like, I'll take anal bum cover for
Right.
100.
Yeah. One thing was like a petite, and he's like, I'll take ape tit for 800. And then they make a lot out of like when they wager, and then you see how they write it
Yeah,
down on
the
their little blue
drawing.
screen.
Yeah, the Sean Connery one's usually like some kind of fake out where it looks like he's writing something, but then when he
Right.
reveals the whole thing, you get a
Yeah.
picture of him shitting on his grave.
Like there's the one that I'm thinking of, it ends with he's like, you know what? Final Jeopardy. He rips up the card and is like, just put any number. Any number
Yeah.
you can think of, put it. And then fucking Norman Downs, Burt Reynolds, is like, I didn't write anything. He's like, great. He moves on to Sean Connery, and Sean Connery put a V, and he's like, well, guess what? That's a Roman numeral, so you win. And then he goes, and you wagered, and you see the V is the top of a K, and it says, suck it, Trebek.
Yeah.
Fucking brilliant.
Is
And
that
yeah.
also the one where Norm is Burt Reynolds, like he just suddenly has a big cowboy hat on?
Yes. Yeah. It's a big hat. It's
Yeah,
funny.
big
No.
hat, funny.
No, it isn't. He's so he does an incredible Burt Reynolds impression. And he's and that was like the 90s, but he was doing like 70s Burt Reynolds, like the fake like chewing gum and like the way he would throw lines away. It was just it's so good. It begins with being like Wolfhard being like, and I'm gonna ask the panel to refrain from any ethnic slurs. And so then Sean Connery's like, you and your Dago mustache. He's like, what did I just say? So good. So, you know, one of the things that sketch comedy, and I think especially SNL, is like often guilty of is like letting something run too long. Like, there's nothing worse than
Right.
SNL sketch that overstays its welcome. And this one doesn't. It has enough variety in it. Like, you know,
Right,
you
you're always gonna swap in new people. You're always gonna have new
right.
categories.
And there's always like a repetition in sketches. It's always like you know, a beat that will repeat a few times, but it's different things like the different people answering and stuff and the different jokes on the board. I think it's and they did it for a while. I think it's one of the best SNL ones. It's the only SNL on my list.
Yeah.
What do you
All
got?
right. Well, that's a good one. Let me let's go to let's sidestep up in SNL and go to SNL's cousin, bastard child, whatever you want to call it, Kids in the Hall.
I
And
want to
we're
say the
gonna
rest of my list is all four Mad TV sketches. And two out of the four have wrestlers in it. So,
do you really
no,
have four
I'm just
Mad TV?
kidding. No,
Okay.
I have
I was
no
gonna
Mad
say that
TV
would be a
sketches.
bold choice.
That would be hilarious. No, I don't.
That'd be a good bit in itself. Like, fake me out
Best
with one
sketches ever, and
SNL,
it's just
and then
Mad TV sketches.
yeah, it's all like Miss Swan and freaking.
That Miss Swan is just racism, right? I mean,
Right, it's just
just
her
Al Jolson.
doing.
It's that level of racism. It's literally just a white lady dressing like an Asian woman.
Right, and for a long time, I thought, is Alex Borstein like, is she at least like a little Asian? And I'm like, no, she's fucking Jewish. She's Borstein. Like,
Wow, yeah, it's yeah. Mad TV was all about the big, broad characters.
yeah, because it always, whenever Mad TV, I'm just gonna go a whole thing shitting on Mad TV. They, when they wanted, the problem with Mad TV is when they wanted to do parody, for whatever reason, they could never do parody as refined as SNL could. Even down
Right.
to like SNL, if they're parodying something that's on TV right now, they'll just use like the real graphics and shit. Like Mad TV had to like make their own. It was like there were a bunch of kids like putting on a play or something.
But it's also it would always somehow work in an impression. Like, how about it's Dog Day Afternoon, but with Woody Allen? It's like, I guess.
Right. Well, because they had guys like Frank Caliendo where that's like all they did was just impressions. Like, oh,
Yeah.
you're John Madden, but you're Santa Claus now. It's like, okay.
Yeah, sure. It writes itself. I'm
Yeah.
sorry, you did it. You had a Kids in the Hall.
Yes, so my Kids in the Hall sketch is God is Dead. So
The
basically it's in all black and white.
Yeah.
And it's basically I think it was like a cold open to an episode. So it's not a long sketch, but it's basically like, oh, philosophers and theologians for years have like gone back and forth about the nature of God. And it shows people, discussing God. And then basically it's revealed that God existed, but now he's dead.
What, so why is this one of your favorites?
Just like the boldness of the idea, especially around that time when, like, you probably still had a lot of people that were watching that went to church every, like, the stuff we take for granted now
Right.
about religious comedy, they just kind of went for it, where it's like,
Yeah.
hey, here's a reality. Like, guess what? There is a God. He existed, but he's dead. And then like there's like a God body like over a tarp, like he's a dead body, but he's like really tiny. And there's one point where a guy's holding up and he's like, he's really light too. Like, They're just kind of like playing around with the idea that like God was this tiny man. And then they're like, the world mourns for God. And then like 2 seconds later, they're like, and then it's back to the busy highways and byways that God built. Like the like mourning for God for like 5 seconds. Like very, very high concept, very like intelligent for sketch comedy, but like especially for that time, just like for me, the boldness of the idea, like that kind of like represents Kids in a Hall to me. Where it's like, whereas SNL, like you would pitch a sketch, and if something's too out there, they probably would be like, no, we're not even gonna rock the boat on that.
No, right.
Like
Yeah,
Kids in
like
the Hall would be where like they would go and do that sketch. Like they had whole sketches with Scott Thompson where he played a Native American named Running Faggot. Like, come on. Like you're not gonna do that on SNL.
No. Well, SNL will put their weirder sketches after the second music guest in the last half hour. And
Right.
it's sort of all that kind of thing in Kids in the Hall.
Yes.
That's usually because it's like God is dead is a sort of philosophical statement about, ontology and how we think about things. But to the layperson, a lot of people, when they hear that, they're like, what do you mean God is dead? So it's funny that the
Right.
sketch is sort of dealing with it on that simple way. Believe it or not, I don't have any Kids in a Hall on here. And I kind of was like, after I wrote my list, I was like, wow, how do I not? Because I like the Kids in a Hall. And I couldn't think of one. And then I was watching a bunch online. And for a while, I thought maybe I was going to put in a Citizen Kane sketch. That's where one character's like, oh, I was watching this movie last night. I forget what it's about, but it's got Orson Welles and he's a newspaper magnate. And it was like, oh, yeah, it's Citizen Kane. No, that wasn't it. That wasn't it. And he's got like this sled named Rosebud. It's like, yeah, Citizen Kane.
I guess the it's not really a problem, but like the problem, air quotes, with Kids in the Hall is that it demanded a little more of your attention.
Yes,
When you
but
watch it, like you don't think Kids in the Hall and automatically think like if you were going to show the average person a comedy sketch where it's like, man, I need a good laugh right now, you would not necessarily, as brilliant as it is, you would not necessarily jump to Kids in the Hall. You would have to, that's like the definition of a cult comedy show where it's like you gotta like know someone who's got the same sensibility and is like turned on to Kids in the Hall.
I think that there's like, even though it's a sketch show and that's how it expresses itself, I don't think in terms of one sketch. I think like with Kids in the Hall, there's a sort of gestalt. There's a sort of attitude that the whole thing has that adds up to something. Same thing with The State. When I was a kid, I really liked The State, and I was thinking about like, what are some good state sketches? And a lot of them are so quick and odd, and but like it's the way that the whole episode would come together. So I don't have any state on here either. All right, so here's my next one. This is from Key and Peele, who I think Key and Peele is maybe the first or the second best sketch show ever.
Really?
I think pound for pound, like it just fucking crushes constantly. It's constantly it's got it deals with race in the way that Chappelle did, but it's more refined and it's about other things as well. It had greater legs, I think. I picked the East West Bowl, which
Okay, so the fake names.
which is it's like a it's like an ESPN like college football, and they're like, oh, let's meet the players from the East and let's meet the players from the West. And it's like the graphics are they totally get down the vibe of the graphics of like ESPN and like a kid standing in front of a camera like kind of awkwardly saying their name and what school they're from. But it's all kind of funny names. And I actually, when I was thinking about this today, I was like, I don't know, am I, as a white person, am I laughing at it the wrong way, or am I allowed?
I mean, they want you to laugh at it,
They want you to
like.
laugh at it. I do think that,
But I get what you're saying, though, because some of the names, it's like some
well,
of
it seems like the joke is that African American people have more creative names, especially because the button at the end of the
Oh,
sketch
it's the
is
white
the one
guy.
white guy who's like Dan Smith, right? It's almost an inversion of their other really, really big sketch, which is the substitute teacher, from the inner city who comes to the white school, and he's saying all the white names.
It's like Aaron.
Right. Instead of Aaron, Aaron, Jaqualin, instead of Jacqueline.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. Some of the names, just some of the names I think are just incredible. I didn't say before that I call my dog Peach Turd Ferguson a lot, and that's from Norm Macdonald. Some of my favorites, Jack Marius, Tatherix, Devon Shower Handle, Le Corpatron, Duke Marriott. Like, it's also like, it has a certain intellectual level of thinking about culture and race, but then also like it has a very silly, like I think a baby could find this funny, because it has a very
Right, because
silly level of we're gonna say names and the names are getting increasingly crazy. To like at the end
well,
he's
that's
like,
based off of to sort of peel back like the racial part of it. Like, I think it's less racial than you think it is, because like that was based off of a real thing. It wasn't just like an idea they had. Like, that's a real thing that like players started doing once they moved to like the live graphics, where they would show the player's face and have
They
them
would
give their
change
name
their
and stuff.
names to interesting things.
They would say interesting things.
Okay.
Some what's the one They would say things in interesting ways. Like, there was one guy like Antoine Randolel, who would always like every year when they would do his video, he would say his name in like a sassy, like come on kind of way, like he's doing a dating video.
That's
So like they would
awesome.
cut to him and he'd be like, "I'm Antoine Randolel, Indiana University."
Yeah.
Like, and then there would be guys who would literally just be like when Black Panther came out, like there would be a guy, I forget who, would just like he just yelled Wakanda Forever as his school.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, so some of the other names I really like. X-Wing, Aloysiusness.
Yeah. Oh, another guy with this is a real person, did he's like, "I'm so and so fueled by Taco Bell."
That's
And it's
incredible.
like
That's
it's
fun.
like, wow, they can really just say anything.
That's fun. It's also an interesting sketch because it really showcases the talent of Key and Peele, because it just goes back and forth between them. But it's like,
Right.
change the hair a little bit, change the facial expression, and change the voice, and they find these different characters. It's and you kind of you get a feeling for the you get a feel for the character like with one fucking word.
Oh,
It's
yeah.
really interesting. And they did a bunch of these too, but I think the first one is the strongest. The player formerly known as Mouse Cop, Beezer 12 Washing Beard, Jones College. Something also about the button of saying the college is always funny too. Osmatat Buckshank, Stanford University. I love it. Do you have any Key and Peele on your list?
I do not. You know what? I'm gonna Let's stick with NBC. Let's round out the NBC,
NBC.
and we'll go to Conan O'Brien, Late Night with Conan O'Brien.
Interesting. Okay.
So this is the one that I thought about, where it's like, should I even include something from Conan? Because it would have to include some sort of sketch element to it. Like, it
Yes,
couldn't
yes.
just be like a bit that he does, or like, oh, it's Frankenstein wastes a minute of our time. Like, you can't do that. But then
Yeah.
I remember there was one bit that he did that did last for like a couple of weeks, but there was a big central part of it that included a sketch. And it's actually one of the very first like sketches or like running Conan bits that I gravitated towards as a kid when I was watching Conan. So this is from like 96, 97. And this is, just to give a setup, for whatever reason, because it's late night, they got a weird hair up their ass to try and find the actor who played Grady on Sanford and Son, Whitman Mayo. And so they did a whole thing where they're like, we tried to get him on the show. We don't have a number for him. We want to know where's Grady. So they put up a hotline number, and they had like thousands of people calling in the Where's Grady hotline. And a lot of it was just stupid people being like, "I saw a dog that looked like Grady." Like, and they did that for a couple nights, and then they got serious with it. And they did one night where they explained the bit again and did the whole wraparound at the hotline. And they're like, folks, it just wasn't enough, so we had to bring out the big guns. And you know, we had NBC put this together, and here you go. And they did a whole unsolved mystery segment with Robert Stack and like the graphics and everything of basically Sanford and Son with like the fake dramatizations and everything.
Wow,
And it was
you're
just
putting me
done
to shame.
so.
I thus far I've not known most of your choices. Flexing with the deep cuts.
I know, but so they do this unsolved mystery, and there's a part that always cracks me up when they're doing the dramatization where the guy playing Red Fox is fighting with the woman playing Aunt Esther, and he goes, and she's yelling at him. He goes, why don't you drink a big cup of shut up juice?" And and they're just right, like the more. The more you think about it, the more like, well, why don't you big drink a big glass of shut up juice? Like, and then, so they do this whole dramatization. And again, like they've got Robert Stack there talking about great, like, if you've seen Grady, call this number, blah, 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 blah. And then the code of this is they do end up getting Grady on the show and they bring him out. And it's actually like a really wholesome moment. They bring him out and like there's like fireworks and he's naming lights and shit. Before that, when the episode starts, they do like a live cam of like here's Grady's plane landing at LaGuardia Airport, and then like oh Grady's got a police escort bringing him to like a whole ramp up to it, and then when they bring Grady out and do the fireworks and everything, he's dancing and stuff, and the crowd is yelling Grady, and he's like kind of crying, like he's totally like
Oh
taken
my
aback by
God.
the whole thing. And then he sits down with Conan and they have a short interview. And that's really good too, because he gets off a couple good lines. And something that honestly, here's the most shocking thing about it. You're not going to see this coming. So this is so good. I should probably like clip it out of the segment I found it and like put it on Instagram. It could go viral. He mentions if you actually want to find Grady, I'm going to make a website soon so you can email me. You want to know what that website was called?
What?
Goop.
Really?
The like the Gwyneth
Yeah,
Paltrow
yeah,
whole
yeah,
shit
yeah.
stuck it. Yeah. So like the original goop.com
What
was
do you
used to
say? Why it was
contact
called Goop?
no.
Of course.
But like the original goop.com was used as a way to contact the actor who played Grady from Sanford and
That's
Son.
so funny. Early Conan, that whole tone. I mean, like all of those bits, like masturbating bear and pimp robot,
Yeah,
a
Cactus Chef
staring
playing Lean Start the
contest.
Fire on a flute. Like,
Right. I forget what they called, but it was like the cable package where they'd go through all the different
oh yeah, this
channels.
all the satellite TV.
Inappropriate.
The Secrets, which always has my favorite. The what's the Jeff Goldblum one, where it's like Jeff Goldblum Secrets, and he's like, I always tell everything. You know, people always ask me if it's Goldblum or Goldblum, and you know, I always tell them the same thing. How dare you speak to me?
Oh, fuck. Early Conan. Early Conan had a real bizarreness to it. Like weird shit. Like what was the sketch where there was like a dog and like oh, is it, and then like oh no he's got a gun and then the dog shoots somebody.
The dog shoots. Or
That
this is one of the bits they would do near the end of episodes, in that like little sliver like before the last guest. They did do you remember Tamari the ostrich?
yes.
Where it would just be this big ostrich head on a stick that would bring him the cue card to read off like what tomorrow's guests are.
Well, what about remember the Peacock, the NBC Peacock?
Yes.
That was another recurring character too, and he would just
I
be
don't.
making fun of NBC.
Yeah, they had a lot of great, so many great recurring characters. You know what the great thing about Late Night was is when they knew they had a good idea, they would like let it run to the end of its course. They wouldn't stop it. Like
The lever that showed
the
Walker,
Walker
Texas
Texas
Ranger.
Ranger lever, that's a great example. When they started doing Pierre Bernard's Recliner of Rage, and that led to Pierre Bernard getting a cameo on Stargate SG-1.
So incredible. God, yeah, they would do things. I mean, I think one of the greatest running bits of the last 20 years is Paul Rudd showing the clip from Mac and Me. Like, he did it recently on Conan's podcast.
Right, he's still doing it.
Yeah. And but he sets it up for 10 minutes. He's like, oh yeah, I'm making this podcast. And it's kind of like a radio show. It's like a man and a woman. And he describes it for 10 minutes and then plays it. And it's so fucking great. Cause it's funny whether you see it coming or not. If you see it coming, it's just as funny if you don't see it coming. Cause right. You're like, this son of a bitch, he's going to do it. It's yeah. And then, but that's another very, that's a Conan thing. Like same thing with the Walker Texas Ranger when he'll be like, all right, we're not going to do it again. We're not going to do it again. Let's do it one more time.
There's a long pause. And he's like, do it, do it. And then he just quickly grabs it.
Do you remember the, we're just talking about Conan now. Do you remember the Conan episode where he had an all-child audience and he brought on an economist and
Dave Foley from Kids in the Hall came out and the kids didn't like him. So they're like, oh, sorry, Dave, the kids don't like you. You have to go now.
It was like the whole hour, though. Like it was.
Oh yeah. But he would do bits within it where he's like, "Hey kids, we were told that you're all going to be on your best behavior tonight. But if you're not, I just wanted to warn you. You're going to have to go to Naughty Land. Let's show them what Naughty Land is." And it's just all like bounce castles and candy. And
stuff. Oh, that's fantastic! All right, so my next one, this is the only one I have in audio format.
Oh,
Toll Booth Willie. From Adam Sandler's What the Hell Happened to Me from 1993. Wow. Kids, there was once upon a time, Adam Sandler was funny. And also he was like edgy and dirty funny. You know how your grandma loves the movie Click? Because he uses a magic remote control to tell his daddy loves him or whatever happens in that movie. This was, and again, this is a perfect example of like, the same thing over and over and over again, and it just escalates, and it's always, you see it coming, but it's always good. It's in New England, and he's doing this New England accent, and he's Toll Booth Willie, and somebody comes through the toll booth, and he's like, it's $1.25, ma'am. And then every person, what's hilarious is that they all know him to know his name. It's obviously a close-knit community, but still, every person, when they give him the money, they're like, they insult him. Like, oh, do you want me to put the quarters in the basket or should I shove them straight up your fat ass? And then you hear the sound effect of them driving away and he curses at them. Fuck you! And then like a little old lady comes and she says something to him. A reverend comes like, how are you today, reverend? And he's like, how much is a toll, Willie? That's $1.25. $1.25, Willie. Isn't that what your mother charges for a blowjob? And then you hear the screech. It's just you. It's that the whole way, and it's also hilarious because it doesn't. It's this bizarro world. Like, why is anyone doing this? Like, why do all of these people have decided let's just abuse this poor person for no reason? It's just
funny because Adam Sandler's CDs, like that, is a thing that I think maybe gets lost to the time a little bit.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely. I thought about also putting on Talking Goat from What the Hell Happened to Me, the second album. That's an audio sketch about Adam Sandler plays a talking goat who is owned by a farmer who's an alcoholic who's just a mess who just like ties him to a truck all day and beats him. And the local kids come to like talk to him and kind of make fun of him. Just like, God. It's amazing. It's amazing where he went in life, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, he's a good actor. I like Uncut Gems a lot. $1.25. And then somebody says the same thing. Somebody goes, should I shove it up your fat ass? He's like, I heard that one before, you piece of repeating shit. Which I...
Yeah, those albums were just all sketches and then songs. And
Yeah. And it's like
everyone Adam remembers Sandler, at a medium pace.
Yes. It's Adam Sandler, a lot of his dumb friends that are still in the movies with him, but then like Spade,
Norm MacDonald,
Tim Meadows. It's like those people come by. It's really funny. What do you got?
Oh, what do I have? What's my next one? Let me go back to my list. Oh, I've only got two left, so I'll save the most genuinely funny one for last. But This one is more indicative of just like a vibe of like the overall like mid-2000s comedy. And this is an internet sketch. It's not from any show.
Whoa.
And this is
Salad fingers.
no. Oh God, imagine. So creepy. This is Stella. This is the pizza
Yes.
sketch.
Okay. I don't know if I remember
Which,
this one either.
how do I even, this is the one that I've been thinking about the most, because I'm like, how do I even explain it? And if you know Stella, then you know
I know Stella,
why that's a hard task.
there were three members formerly of the state.
Right, and they would wear suits,
Right.
but they would just do a lot of silly things.
Yeah.
And they had a show for one season on Comedy
Yes, I
Central.
remember that one. I remember
But the
that.
sketches were like way more Dadaist, I guess, to
Interesting.
use a highfalutin word.
So it's the pizza sketch.
Yeah, like it starts out and they're like, because again, how do I even explain it? Like, because it starts out in there and they're just like, hey guys, I want a pizza. Like, yeah, I want a real fucking Brooklyn pizza. And they all start doing their own impressions of like, I want pizza. Like they just start yelling, I want pizza in different voices. And then it cuts to them walking out in the street with tiny shorts on
Sure.
to the Bee Gees. Then they get to the pizza place and Michael Showalter's like, I can't go in because I have the farts. And then he goes home, cries, and tries to hang himself.
Course.
And Michael Ian Black and David Wayne go into the pizza parlor and do some funny stuff with the pizzas. They see these two women, they invite them back, and they go, and the women give them butt sex. And then, like, that's kind of the, like, I'm really short selling the sketch.
But what's interesting is, I think when you look at older sketches, right, a lot of what makes it work is either writing and performance.
It's a
Whereas
lot of the little
I
things.
think like now though, I think as the digital age came on and the internet age happened, like I think a lot of even on TV, like the East West Bowl Key and Peele sketch, I think a lot of what makes it work is editing.
Yeah.
It's you look at Key and Peele and I Think You Should Leave and Crawl Show and like some of those later things, like a lot of it is the editing. It's the way they would like with East West, like the way they perfectly mimic the way ESPN looks and just the fast pace of it. Not to say that it's not as good, but like it's a move away from like I guess the proscenium theater thing. Even SNL like went in that direction of like digital shorts.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and this was just like a big example of that where like they got big because of their basically digital shorts. And that was like the biggest one. 'Cause like there's people who are in the comedy that like I'll run into that will still quote that sketch
That's
because there's just
fantastic.
lines in it that are just like very, very weird and like odd choices. Like there's a part where they're yelling at Michael Showalter and he goes, "Stop hectoring me." And it's like that's a very specific way to phrase that.
It's and those little things stick in your head.
So I would recommend just go to YouTube if you're listening to this and look up Stella Pizza
I'm gonna
and
look
it
up
should
every
pop right
sketch
up.
you've said. And listeners, if you don't know them, you should too. And mine, if you don't know them.
Yeah, play along at home.
Play along at home. Okay, so I have one from I Think You Should Leave. Although I could have had all five from I Think You Should Leave. I Think You Should Leave is
It's
that
good.
and Key and Peele. I can't figure out which one I think is better. Maybe they're tied. Although they're different. It's the hamburger sketch. This is where a
Oh, the
group of
55 hamburger, 55.
no, that's from the most recent. This is not that one. This is the one where a bunch of students go out to dinner with their old professor, who they haven't seen in years, and it's this. He was big at they would find like non-actors or like weird nobody actors to like play characters, and they order food, and then the food comes. So then Tim Robinson ordered a burger, and the other guy, the old professor ordered, I don't remember what, and he's like, I should have ordered that. That looks so good. And it was like, huh, yeah. And then he's like, hey, they one starts talking about like their kids and like their life, and like they're all playing it very straight. And he's like, look over there. And he like fake takes his burger, and he's like, ah, I'm joking. I'm joking. And then he's like, It's like getting very awkward as he keeps like making the same joke about wanting his food, and everyone's like, and then Tamara says like, do you want a bite of it? And he's like, yeah, sure, I would. And then he takes a bite and he's like, you know what? I'm gonna eat the whole thing. And then he eats the whole thing, and everyone's like just awkward and like they don't know how to deal with it. I also one of the funniest things, and I quote this a lot with my dog, is at one point he's like the professor's. He's appropriating, like, I guess, like a bully character. And he's like, give me that. Give me that. He's like, my burger? Give me that. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. There's so many good sketches from that. Have you ever seen this
Oh yeah,
sketch?
I've seen that sketch. If I had to pick one from Tim Robinson, I would say the either the zip line one
Yeah.
where they're on the dating show and you're like, I
See,
think I'm gonna
that
have to
again,
let
that's
you
all
go here.
editing. It's
Yeah.
editing that makes it work. Like, and if you watch it a second time, it really it rewards you, because when the second time you watch it, you realize that even in the opening of the fake show, every shot has him zip lining in
Yeah.
the
I think you're just here for the zip line.
back. Which is that line alone is just perfect. Have you seen now at Met Games, they do
Oh, the
driving crooner.
driving crew. Yeah.
They'll just like the camera will find people in the stands
I
with the
saw that
hat
on
and
Twitter
the
the other day where and someone was like, are the Mets doing a Tim Robinson bit?
fucking He was just in New York doing a live thing, and like I think you should leave live, and I didn't even know about it. Shows how with it I am. I would have loved to have seen that. So what do you have any honorable mentions? Or things that you were thinking about, but you were like, I don't know if it fits.
See, any honorable mentions or things that I thought would fit?
Anything you were struggling with, like, I don't know if this is right.
Well, again, like before I settled on the one Conan sketch, that was probably the biggest bugaboo for me. Is like again, like you don't want to put a bit in there, you want to put a whole sketch or something that has a little more teeth to it. I did think about maybe like some Chappelle show, but then I don't know. I just like it got outranked.
See,
I love Chappelle's show, but
yeah. See, when I first wrote my list, I wrote sketches that came to mind, but then I would look at it and go, wait, there are whole shows that I have ignored. And
right.
then I felt insecure about that, like, oh, how can I do this without, so
Right,
and so.
neither of us have Monty Python.
Right. I have one on my honorable mentions, the parrot sketch. Which is like
Yes.
maybe one of the most famous sketches. And again, it's a simple sketch of one guy says yes, the other guy says no. The guy goes to a pet shop and he's like, I want to return this parrot I just bought. It's dead. And the other guy's like, no, it's not dead. He's just sleeping.
Yeah,
And
they're
then it
just
just
whacking the
goes on
parrot. It's
like
good
that.
prop comedy. It's
Yeah. All right. So what's your last one?
Mine is a Tim and Eric sketch
Okay.
that is Donald McManahan's child clown outfit.
Again, you may have stumped me for every single one.
Okay, this is a special one because this is one that they had done two other child clown outlet sketches before this. One with Tim playing a character, one with Eric playing a character. And then in their final season, they did one that was their dad's child clown outlet. The runners that they're brothers. So like the first sketch they do in like season two or whatever is Tim Heidecker. And all you know is that he's got a child clown outlet, and it's just like rent these child clowns for your party and blah blah blah. And then they, when they do the child clown sketch in a later season, it's Eric Wareheim, and he's like, my brother, he got shot in the face, so now I'm taking over the clown child business. And then when it gets to the final season, this is sort of like a big reveal too. It's Will Ferrell as their dad, and he's like, my son broke the golden rule. He don't touch the clowns. Let the clowns touch you. Like he might have been arrested for like touching the clowns.
Tim and Eric is so good.
But like it's again, it's you talk about editing. Like that sketch is all about the editing,
All of Tim
and
and
it's
Eric
like
stuff.
the goofiness of it. Like they bring in a real baby for Will Ferrell to hold at one point, and the baby starts crying, and he's like, "Oh, this isn't good. Oh, this baby's acting up. I'm gonna have to bury him in the backyard if he keeps this up." And then it cuts to him like really close up to the camera. And he just goes, I'm gonna have to put them in cages they can't see through.
What?
And he's like, the clowns
Oh,
are from
what a
Rick.
phrase.
I breed them myself. I'm a clown breeder. I impregnate women with real clown traits. He's like, it's what I do. It's in my business. It's in my heart. It's in my balls. Like he but it's all like very quick paced. Like it's very funny. Like very quick paced. The editing is great.
Yeah.
Like it's just so absurd.
Have you seen any of Tim Heidecker's been doing this thing? Like, he has a podcast, but every once in a while, he'll do an episode of his podcast as a parody of Bill Maher's podcast.
Yes, he'll do the
And
fake
even like
Club
Bill Maher's
Random.
like gross attitude about everything.
Yes.
And what's funny is apparently like Bill
Apparently, Bill
Maher
Maher's
saw it.
staff loves it, but
Yeah,
he
but he
hates it.
hates it because he has no sense of humor. That's fantastic.
It's Bill Maher's podcast really is the worst.
It's so like I'm a cool boomer. Like, did you I don't know if you saw this, like he invited Steve-O from Jackass to be on, and Steve-O's been sober for 15 years. And he was like, "Yeah, I'll do it, but could you not smoke weed in my
Yeah.
face?" And he was like, "No, that's a deal breaker." And then he was like, "Okay, fucking."
Okay. Yeah. Like, oh, are you trying to be the cool
And
guy? Too cool
even
to
it's like
not smoke
it's
weed?
called C Club Random, which
Yeah,
is
like
like
I don't really want to
more.
do this podcast.
He's fucking sucks.
And every once in a while he'll have a guest on where I'm like, maybe I'll click this and watch because I'm like, oh, well, the guest may be good. And like I forget who it was, but he had some comedian on. And the comedian's genuinely trying to be funny,
Yeah.
but like Bill Maher cuts it off at
Right.
every
He
pass.
yeah, he's just the worst. Almost
It's a lot
just
of him
the
fumbling
worst.
with stuff. Like it, T Tim Heidecker actually had the best line about it, where he was like, "I bet he asked people to be on his show, and they think like, oh, I'm going to be on the big, the HBO show he has." And they get to his house, and he's like, "Come in," and they're like, "What's this? This is my podcast studio." And it's like, well, where's the HBO? You do the HBO show in your house? No, this is a much cooler thing.
Right. This is me drinking and talking about how cool it is to not have kids or whatever.
Yeah.
It's funny because I agree, like on a fundamental level, I'm an atheist like he is. I don't have kids like he
But
does.
the problem is he talks down to people. He
But
can't understand
he's
that people,
awful. Yeah.
and he can't understand like why people would enjoy fun things. Like
Right.
he's always so down. Like when Stan Lee died, he did a whole thing, and this is the crux of it. Like he could have said nothing, but he felt compelled to do a whole thing where he went on a rant on like, oh, well, why do people over 18 like love comic books? Like I see all these man children like grieving, crying over Stan Lee. It's like,
Right.
fucking let people enjoy it. Like these properties make billions of dollars if we've all agreed that we like it.
He's just become like old man shouting at the clouds.
Because he
And
is an
it's so
old man.
sweet.
He's fucking like 70 years old. He dyes his hair to hide it a little bit.
Right.
But like, did you see the story that he couldn't get into? He wasn't invited to like some Oscar party, so he
No.
fired his agent for not being able to get him into the. And it's like, dude, who the fuck wants you at their Oscar party?
It's interesting to see somebody like that because he thinks he sort of presents himself as like being very intellectual, but he clearly lacks any self-awareness.
He looks like a fucking lizard. He looks like Dennis Hopper in the Mario movie.
Yeah, he's gotten weird looking. All right, so my last, well, actually, honorable mentions. I thought about putting the SNL Debbie Downer sketch, but I think what that is a very funny sketch, but I think what it's more famous for is it
Like the
making everyone
reactions.
break.
Yeah.
And it's not as funny, I think, if people aren't breaking. And then the other one I had a hard time with was whether or not to put the Chappelle Show episode Charlie Murphy's True Hollywood Stories, Rick James,
Right, because is
because that's a
that a
half hour
sketch or
long.
is that, and it's a real story too, so
Right.
like,
I mean, it's hilarious, and it ruled the world for like 3 years. People like quoting it and shit.
oh
And it's definitely
yeah.
the most famous episode of that show. But it's more, it's not a sketch. I mean, it's three segments. It's got act breaks in it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I guess my number one, and it's not really a number one, is from the Crow Shell, Oh Hello. But
Oh, I love Oh Hello.
one of my favorite Oh Hellos is the boys go to see a doctor. Gil Faison played by Nick Kroll, and George St. Gieglin played by John Mulaney. They go to a doctor, and the doctor tells Gil that he has mercury poisoning because he eats too
He's
much
too much
tuna.
tuna.
And but John Mulaney's like, "Is that what killed Freddie Mercury?" And she's like, "No, that was AIDS." He's like, "Right, AIDS poisoned him. It was mercury's poisoning. We're saying the same thing." And what's funny about those sketches on the and the Kroll Show is a really underrated sketch comedy show. Is it's all editing because you could tell they just go for like they probably record for like 20 minutes and cut it down to like 30 seconds, and then it turns into their so then it turns into the sketches first them at the doctor, but then it turns into their reality no they not reality their public access show called Too Much Tuna, which is a prank show
Yes.
where they go and
Well, they just give people too much tuna on their
they
sandwich.
give people a sandwich, and it's usually done in a diner, but in this sketch, it's done in a doctor's office. And he like they're like, "I don't know if that I don't," and they keep trying to like cue the guy, and he's like, "I don't know if that's too much tuna." And then you hear a little bit of the music, and it's not happening. And then finally, like a PA comes in and just puts tuna in front on the doctor's desk. And John Mulaney's fucking, "Look at you! You got a sandwich on your desk, you stupid bitch!" It's so over the top. It's so
This
good, but you
made me
couldn't write that. You,
oh.
what makes it funny, you couldn't write. You
Right,
know
it's
what I mean? Like,
them. They're coming up with it at like they've
right.
got the characters down.
Those two guys embodying those insane characters, and they are. I mean, they're so all of the Oh Hello sketches are great because they're such specific characters. They're like a New York type, and like yes, there's Jewishness to it, and Nick Kroll is Jewish, John Mulaney isn't, but
But it's
it's
also like an upper,
yeah.
like an Upper West Side kind of thing.
Yeah, like there was another Oh Hello with Hannibal Buress as like a bartender, and they're like being like, "You're cool. We like the," I forget what how they try to relate to him, but they're all they're talking about is race, and he's like,
Right.
"Get out of here, you weird racist liberals,"
Yeah.
which is like that is what that type of guy is.
God, I miss Oh Hello. I remember when they would do Oh Hello Live in the city.
I never saw that.
That would and when I say Oh Hello Live, I mean like not when they did it on Broadway.
Yeah.
Like years, this is like going back to like when we were talking about Stella before, like I guess like a year or two after that, like when there was the big sort of like live, like UCB style like sketch comedy boom in New York City. Like, Oh Hello was one of the bigger shows,
Wow.
and
Yeah,
I
it's
saw it a couple
incredible.
times,
Oh, wow.
and
Did
I
they do a guest back then?
no, it was just them.
It was just
It was
them.
just
Yeah,
them coming
cool.
out and doing the show because they were like they were basically nobodies then.
That's so it's so good too. Like you can tell that they just do those characters all day because
But
they have like ways of saying certain words and
oh,
like
it was
ways of
a.
moving.
It felt lived in back then because they would premiere, like they would show a video before each performance where it was basically like the intro to like an Oh Hello sitcom from the 80s. But it was
Oh,
always set to, and now I can't never, I always think of Oh Hello when this song comes on. It was set to Peg by Steely Dan,
that's
which is
great.
almost perfect. And it's just like them. It's like a 3 minute long sketch of them like going around Manhattan and just doing like and like they swap books and like they're going like antique shopping.
That's
Like
great.
I gotta relook that up. Like I haven't seen that in forever. But yeah, Oh Hello,
I love the
definitely a good pick.
One on the Kroll Show where they're like in a basketball court and they're like they're so overdressed, and then like those young guys come in and they're African American and they're like, "Let us play with you," and they're like, "Oh, okay, I'll get the one that looks like Phil Spector."
Yeah.
I'll get the one that looks like Dame Judi Dench. Because John Mulaney goes, "Wow, you guys are really black," which is such a really insane thing to say. He's like impressed by it. Anyway, those are some sketches we talked about.
Yeah, go look them up. Make a playlist of it. Make a night of
Yes.
it.
Vin, what's going on with your various projects?
They're going on at the by the time this comes out, it will be after the fact. But this weekend, as of recording, it's a WrestleMania weekend.
Whoa.
Yeah, so that's a big time for the Wrestle Rap podcast. Emilio's
Yes.
in Philly right now, doing stuff for that. And
Nice.
then Oddball, the sports podcast I do, go subscribe to that, youtube.com/@oddballpodcast. New episodes go up every weekend, so there should be some new episodes up right now.
Nice.
Yeah, check that out. And I will leave you with this as a tease for that podcast, because I always do like a cool down segment. And last week we did one about the, I don't know if you saw this, the 7-Eleven hot dog sparkling water.
No, I have not.
So 7-Eleven now has some new deal with like a sparkling water company, but nobody saw or cared about that part. What they all care about is that around April 1st, they legitimately put out a hot dog flavored sparkling water.
That's
And
incredible.
my question, I'll pose it to you, is gun to your head, you have to either take three big sips of the hot dog flavored water or three big sips of a slushy, but the slushy is in a boot. And you don't know where the boot or slushy came from.
Okay, I'm gonna take the hot dog water because even if it's gross, I know that it was manufactured. Like, I don't know where this boot's coming from. Like, I could really catch something from the boot.
See, I understand where you're coming from. My logic is I would go with the boot because you don't have to drink to the bottom of the boot. So you can
Right.
take like three big sips of the slushy
So,
and not
yeah.
worry about the
But
actual
they
boot
really
part.
sold this for a day, or they just advertised it?
No, they sold it. Like people were
So,
online, like
what if
drinking
people
it,
who
and
drank it say it?
they say it was disgusting. So it was exactly what you're thinking it is.
Wow. I just heard, I was listening to You're Wrong About podcast, and they were talking about corporations doing pranks, and they were talking about do you remember the 90s when Taco Bell said that they bought the Liberty Bell?
Yes.
And people were like, this is an outrage. And then the real like historical site was like, no one, they don't really own the Liberty Bell. That was a joke. All right, we gotta wrap this one up. Vin, thank you so much for being here. We end every episode by saying
Go bye bye.